Morning, Terra Nova. Happy New Year. 10 years. God's been so good and faithful. And I'm just going to tell you first, for those who've been around for like a long, long time, you guys looked young 10 years ago. Something happened along the way. It was disturbing to watch. And listen, somewhere in those last 10 years, I moved from like Frodo to full-on Bilbo grabbing for the ring in these photos. I don't know what happened, but those 10 years have happened. To those who are newer here, there are moments that may seem like nostalgia when we talk about 10 years, and that's okay. To hear the story of our church is our way of telling ourselves, this is our heritage. This is a good thing. These are the family stories you want repeated so that we remember those things. But for everyone, try to look past nostalgia and see what the Lord's done in all this. A couple things to help us orient towards that. I want to dispel first some myths that over time have sprung up about Terra Nova. So let's snope these out. Did Terra Nova really not have a rent contract on Revolution Hall 1 week before our first meeting? It's true, but we didn't know it, so it kind of didn't count. The guy who was running the place got caught up in that fast turnover world of small clubs in upstate New York and was gone. And the guy who owned it, Gary Brown, the businessman famous for Brown's beer, said, we better meet because I don't know what you're talking about with this church meeting at my hall in 1 week's time. And he walked me through his place, had me smell hops, and I thought, a couple things. This guy's really passionate about his work. This guy really doesn't understand how anxious I am to find out if we can rent Revolution Hall for this church or not. Second myth, were the taps really open during Sunday services? No, they were not false. But true that we did take our Bibles and books of theology led by Pastor Phil Taylor over to Brown's and their brewing pub and had times where they met doing theology at the tap room. True that we were offered the opportunity to bless a bar on St. Patrick's Day and just be able to talk about Jesus and what he did in this man's life to a whole lot of people who might never be in a church. Third, did a boy fall from the second floor window and still haunts Terra Nova to this day? True, but he's not a ghost. He grew up. You can ask the Keperudi about that situation. They'll tell you the whole thing. Two more myths left. We have secret plans to see more churches started in this area, the Northeast, and all over the world. False, it's public. And those aren't our plans, those are God's plans. We're just joining him on his mission to make more and better disciples of his son Jesus by planting more and better churches. As a matter of fact, today when we take our offering, all that offering is gonna go towards church planting. It's been a part of our heart from the beginning. We were blessed by people who understood that, and we wanna keep giving back to that. One last one. We believe the Bible is true, that Jesus is God, and that he died and rose from the dead to save us from our sins, and will return for a final judgment on all the living and the dead. True. And that has made at times a difficult dialogue for us. Us as Christians, us as the church, in a culture that was moving more and more to a post-Christian place. So let's flash back to 10 years ago and get some context. It must be understood that we were on the cusp of all that was the religious right and the culture wars just beginning to fade. And the church had to ask, what now? Now that the terms of our surrender have been announced by an evangelical writer in the New York Times, what are we supposed to do? How do we engage? And the heart that Diane and I and that small group of people who joined to start Terra Nova had was that we could see a church that welcomed people just like us. People who may want to know about the Lord, but don't understand the language of Christianity. Who really need to live with Jesus, but don't understand the forms that hold all the functions of the church. It wasn't always easy, and sometimes it was confusing. A local journalist told me off the record later, I thought you guys were a cult, and I was horribly disappointed to find out you weren't. It would have been a much better story. He later came back to me and said, you know, I think actually Christians who are committed to living in their community and serving it actually is a really good story. We had a lot of things we thought were dialed in early on. We had staffs and plans and mission statements, vision, values, and yet, a lot of times it felt like we were building a plane on takeoff, like while we were flying, just throwing things together. I was pretty sure half of what we were saying, praying, and doing was right. I just wasn't sure what half, and we would try to guess at that as best we could and move forward. And we navigated that course together only because of one thing. The Lord has been really faithful. In all the limitations and all the mistakes, he honored what we were doing, and that's why we're able to be here today and celebrate this. And so the story that we have is his story. The celebration that we have is a celebration of him. And the story, of course, has to be in three parts. The first is that we know the Lord. It all begins with him. It always does. It always has. Just start that read through the Bible in a year program in Genesis and you'll see it again. In the beginning, God. It explains that he created. St. Paul will pull out quotes from poets to say, in him we live and we move and we have our being. It's really all about him. Then St. Paul will break out his own theological language in Colossians 1:15 and following. He'll say this, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he's the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on heaven or in earth, making peace by the blood of his cross. We really do mean and believe all the pieces that perhaps ancestors once taught your parents or your parents shared with you. Perhaps there are memories of confessions and creeds and priests and pastors who talked about Jesus as Lord and meant it and wanted us to center on him. It's the rallying point of the whole universe to find any hope, redemption, and victory in this broken world. He's the only name under heaven by which men and women will be saved. Every person lost who is found is only found in Jesus. He said, no one comes to the Father except by me. It says in John 5, the Bible points to him. It says in John that the Spirit glorifies him. And we know even the gifts of the Spirit, the church being together, is meant to bring us all to maturity in Jesus. The first chapter of the story is always about knowing him and always will be. Keep focused on Jesus. Keep walking after him. We're followers. That's what we're supposed to do. It's not always certain, but we can know to reorient our lives to make him preeminent. And in some ways, that calls us to the second chapter, to not just know the Lord, but to love the Lord, to be really good pilgrims. Kind of common at New Year's time to reassess and evaluate things in your life. So if you got one of these amazing moleskins that look like they must be a $20 value. You can take that out and draw three circles that overlap in a Venn diagram. It's this idea that I have that this Trinitarian God actually is biased towards threes. And here's three ways you can assess yourself on how you're following in this new year. The first is personal and it has to do with confession. Are you recognizing and following after Jesus that you're in agreement with him consistently? It means you're reading his word and saying, yes, I confess this, I agree with this. It means recognizing also conviction of sin and saying in the sense of, I confess my sins to you that I can know forgiveness. It means responding in worship and confessing, God, you're actually really great. It means dealing with all of our brokenness together. It means us being very honest in confessing. If you had to put that on a 1 to 10, where would you put yourself? And what would be the one thing you would do to change that this year? The second would be community and focus on participation. What's it look like for us to live together and serve together in the continuing years? to have membership and ministry together. The third would be cause and purpose, and this is where we start to really recognize if Jesus is preeminent in our lives, in every area, in our family life, in our work life, with our finances, with our time. Do we recognize that he's first? Guarantee you we'll come up short in some of those things that were listed. I know I do. And it's a constant call to reform ourselves, to be men and women who follow Jesus with that confession, that community, and that cause. Because our lives will always be hidden in him. And following him is our way of testifying to that. It's confession. It's storytelling. It's what the church does. No matter where we are, what we do, we confess that we follow Jesus. It's what it's done in every denomination that's ever been faithful to what the word says as it points to him. By way of making that testimony, we're a church that's used film to tell stories. And so we have put together a film for that. Now, by way also of confession and cultural understanding, there are some haircuts that need to be talked about. And it may be best to go to a brother privately. At least three of your pastors, I think, have some haircuts that they didn't carry on. Pastor Rob, rock solid. His haircut was the same throughout the 10 years at Terra Nova. It was amazing. But we're really grateful to be able to have the story of the Lord be told by the people of God. So this testimony of Phil. Guys, that was just great to give away more time of the sermon than me talking to hear the entire body. Also, I realized apparently in 2009 I had not yet learned to work an iron. I think that shirt was looking pretty tired. Or perhaps I was saving the planet for future generations by pushing that shirt. So who's really to say all those years ago? But thank you for editing that, Dennis Gardner, and for filming that, A.J. Henderson. You guys put a lot of work into that. So the third part of the story, what do we do now? We serve the Lord. That's what we do. We follow those same paths we have. Some are going to seem really easy and blessed. Some are going to be really hard. There are going to be people who are added and we'll welcome them. They're going to be friends we lose in that journey. But our past is our story, our testimony of God's faithfulness to us to keep always. Keep the important things. Don't throw away your past. Make sure those pieces that are core are always there for us. The core things probably had a lot of time put into them. They're probably the important pieces. Keep memorials, but destroy idols. Do you get the difference of that? If we become people who just love what's happened so much, we'll be traditionalists who will just hold the forms we've created, put a velvet rope around them, and protect them as sacred shrines and museum pieces. We don't want those. Those are idols. We want memorials, where the experience of reflecting on what God has done actually pushes us into a deeper relationship in the future with him because of how we've known him. And in that time, we're going to have to navigate a tension between precision and passions. When a church community begins to grow, you start to have more structure to it to make it function. And yet we don't want to lose heart in that. We want to be able to keep the passion that brought us to the Lord early on and not give up ministry because we have systems and methods. Because if it's just our story, like the yellow pages of a tabloid newspaper that's now defunct, it'll just pass and fade away. But if it's the story of Jesus and how we're part of his life, boy, that increases and continues in glory. So in some senses, all I'm saying is, still be Terra Nova. Have those same values. Have that same mission. Serve that same Lord with the same strategies. Making disciples through planting churches. Churches that work together well. There's a big divide we still have to heal, and that is the Church of Jesus. We were born to be a network that wasn't accidental. It was actually planned. It was part of the what got us support. I can remember meeting with people and asking for significantly big pieces of money. I mean, like, I didn't ask for anything this big since I said, Dad, can you pay my tuition? That was the last time I asked for checks like this. And I drew on a napkin this idea that churches in the Capital District could reach an area well by centering in those downtown areas where a lot of churches have vacated. We want churches in the suburbs, but we want churches in the cities. And that those churches could be autonomous and independent, but also share the most important things to work well together as the body and be interdependent and rely on each other. We have opportunities for partnerships that the Lord has blessed. We have opportunities to move forward, but that always means we have to fight the drag of nostalgia. If we're going to see a reawakening for the Northeast and not just talk about the history of great awakenings of other generations, we have to make strategic moves as a network. Here are a couple things that are going to be changing in our future. Saratoga, which was launched as an extension in the Terra Nova network of churches, will now have a lead pastor and move to an autonomous, independent, and Terra interdependent church. Pastor Scott Fisher, who's one of the pastors at Temple Baptist, he's a friend of ours. He's preached at Terra before. He was at Saratoga's first service. That church actually hosted Saratoga as a congregation in its infancy and core group days. Scott's going to be taking on the role of leading Saratoga as a congregation on its own. That means a lot of things will be independent. The mission that's there, the leaders who are there, but we're still Terra family and we'll always be interdependent and working together in sermon series and small groups. And it means we continue to plan for the future. God's been faithful, so we want to continue to walk faithfully with him. We want more and better disciples and more and better churches making them. And sometimes that means carefully strategic sacrifices. So Paul and Nicole Gordon have accepted a call to go to the Berkshires in Western New England and lead a congregation. Men and women who did the same thing in Saratoga in some ways. Disciples gather in small groups cluster and become congregations when we have God's people to lead, when we have that right person, we have the provisions lined up in the place. Over the next year, 2 years, you're going to hear a lot about Paul and Nicole's shift, and all that that means. But today, I want you to be able to hear it straight from the horse's mouth, as it were. So Pastor Paul is going to come up and share about what God's doing in that continued future vision for Terra.
Good? We on? All right. I just wanted Ed to stay up here for a minute. We don't do this a lot at Terra, but I think today's a day that's appropriate to do it. If you're a guy at Terra, I know you've heard Pastor Ed teach us this. I'm pretty sure he's preached it in a sermon too. So have you guys ever heard Pastor Ed said what the Lord desires is disciples who say, "Yes, Lord." Right? You guys have heard him talk about that? I think what's notable, and I'm glad that we're celebrating what the Lord has done in his faithfulness here at Terra Nova for 10 years, but I also want to honor the man who has said, "Yes, Lord," a lot to small steps that have brought us to this place. So if you would just join me, Ed and Diane have sacrificed a ton. They have said, "Yes, Lord," for the past 10 to 12 years, and if they hadn't done that a number of times, I'm not sure where we would be. So I just clap. Say thank you for Pastor Ed and Diane. I suppose that's what you get for calling me a horse. I'm just looking forward to the 20-year anniversary, and maybe Zach Nagel's going to get all three core values. We'll see. We'll get there. Listen, we've talked a lot about our mission here at Terra Nova being making more and better disciples. I know for me personally, I know for my wife as well, this is a place where we have become better disciples of Jesus Christ, and we are grateful for that. There's been a number of times in the last decade where we've had to do just that and say, "Yes, Lord," in our lives. Many of you know our story. We are not ministry-trained people. I'm a CPA accountant by background. My wife is a pharmacist. But the Lord has called us to saying, "Yes, Lord," and coming into ministry several small steps along the way. And that's been a journey that I'll get into a little bit more next week. And now it's another step that he's calling us to that Pastor Ed alluded to, that we're looking to go out to Western New England into the Berkshires and to plant a church. And you guys have heard us talk about the Barna reports and the statistics that tell us what the Capital District is, and that it's one of the most, we say top five cities in the U.S., biblically illiterate places and post-church places in the country. And what we've seen for the past couple years is that there's a small group of people traveling upwards of an hour to come here to one of the most spiritually desolate places in the country because they don't have anything at home. And so we've planted a tribe out there about a year ago. We've been gathering as a tribe on a small level there, and now as I'll get into more next week, Nicole and I are feeling a call to actually move our family there and to plant another Terra Nova church out in Western New England, to go and join the people who are there already doing work. The group of people in our tribe are asking us to come, not build a church that they have a fun place to be in, a nice place, but to be on mission with them, making more and better disciples, laboring alongside them in Western New England, in towns that hosted the Great Awakening in Northampton, in towns that hosted the Haystack Movement, which was the birthplace of the American Mission Movement, is now a place where we're actually going to be sending people back into because it needs it. Because you go through many New England towns, and in the center of all those towns are churches. And they're in the center of the town for a very specific reason, because it was central to a way of life a couple centuries ago, but now these places are just museums of faith, and we desire to move over there and actually restore these things to vibrant monasteries who are back on mission, making more and better disciples of Jesus Christ in New England. So Rob told me I have 3 minutes. I probably ran out. There's a ton more I would love to talk about underneath that umbrella. We are super excited to get to work. We are really afraid at the same time and humbled that we're even at this place. So next Sunday, here's a couple of things. I'm sure with the announcements of like hiring a new lead pastor in Saratoga with Scott Fisher and his wife Heather and Nicole and I on this journey, you guys are going to have a lot of questions. Here's a couple of ways we're going to try to help answer some of those things. Next Sunday, here in Troy, I'll be preaching our call to the Berkshires and kind of just telling our story with some more details. And then also the vision we have for church planting in the Berkshires. Next Sunday in Saratoga, where they'll be meeting at 9 a.m. permanently going forward, rah, rah. Pastor Ed will be introducing Scott and Heather Fisher, doing a little Q&A interview style for the church, and then I think also giving like a commissioning to the church as well and to receive a new pastor. And then the following Sunday on the 17th, I'll be in Saratoga sharing the same story. Pastor Ed will be here teaching the core of who we are, making disciples and planting churches, in our strategy of that you even saw from the video. So that's a couple of ways we're going to be talking about this more in the next few weeks. We're going to be talking about it a lot more in the days ahead. Today, there'll be a blog post up with some frequently asked questions for you to get there. There'll also be another town hall meeting. We're still trying to put a date on the calendar for that, but probably late winter, early spring, where we'll have a chance for you guys to interact with much more detail and depth, and we'll be able to answer questions as well. So with all that, I would encourage you to continue praying for the pastors and leaders of Terra Nova, continue to pray for tribe leaders, continue to pray for all of those who are members here at this church, for what the Lord has done in the past 10 years and for where he's calling us in the days ahead. I think the worship team is going to come back up. I'm going to pray, and then we'll continue on in our service. Father, how good and great you've been to bless and honor the humble work of our hands that we've had for the last 10 years. Father, we know that your word says, unless you build it, those who labor, labor in vain. So we just are grateful that you've chosen to build Terra Nova Church. Father, we ask and we implore you to continue to honor the humble work of our hands. Keep us grounded in your word, Christocentric, continually pointing to your son, exalting him, worshiping him, but also in step with your spirit, not just hung on to the things that are our past, but continuing to move forward, continuing to have a heart for the people who still need to know your word, to know your gospel, to come to a saving faith in Christ. Help us to give our lives, help us to give our finances, help us to give our time towards that mission. because it's for your great glory and it's for our deepest joy. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.